Chapter 53. Scarred. Refugee camp. 3 days to the battle. Queen Twilight Sparkle made her way through the refugee camp in earnest. Seeing the chaos and her subjects suffering created a weight on her shoulders that seemed far greater now than ever before. She was their queen now, and she didn't have her mother to help, to give advice or direction. She was on her own. Her mother's death remained on the forefront of her mind, and her current anger stemmed from it. She had fully expected her mother to recover. Chrysalis was strong in both body and will, and she always had been, but then came that moment. The moment Twilight felt Chrysalis's chest stop raising, and the sound of her breathing cease. When that happened, Twilight felt panic like she had never done before, and had immediately called for medical assistance. The doctors rushed in, and with the then princess's help, they attempted to revive the changeling queen. Ultimately, to no avail. After several minutes of trying, the lead doctor had called it in, and in a somber tone had noted the time of death to be recorded. Twilight didn't want to believe it. She had insisted they continue to try, had shouted and raged, but ultimately, no matter how hard she willed it, reality came knocking. Her mother, Queen Chrysalis, was dead. She died in that bed, and Twilight could, in the end, do nothing to prevent it. She had never felt so powerless.
Never again.
Eventually, she spotted the exact individual she was looking for, Queen Draco. She was still assisting with the relief effort, by the looks of it. Changelings and ponies alike ran around as she gave them all directions, Twilight's drones keeping an air of professionalism despite their own anger about Chrysalis's death. Upon spotting her fellow changeling queen, Twilight began to make her way through the crowd as they parted from her path. Draco held a smile when she saw the younger changeling approach.
"Princess Twilight," she greeted. "I trust Chrysalis is recovering nicely. I myself have just had a lovely conversation with Miamora Cadenza. You are right, back at the council, you know."
Draco's smile faltered when she saw the grim expression on Twilight's face, and the grimace she held when Draco's dialogue towards her.
"Twilight?"
she called out.
"What's wrong?"
Twilight breathed in heavily, and then out again.
"It's not princess anymore. I'm the queen of our hive now."
A fearful expression presented itself on Queen Draco's features.
"What do you mean? Chrysalis is stubborn and strong-willed, and not one to pass on her title so easily. Was she maimed that badly?"
Twilight observed the changeling queen. Her expression said it all. Draco realized the likely scenario of what had happened, but didn't want to admit it. She was hoping for the best. False hope.
"Draco,"
Twilight began,
"my mother has passed away. Her injuries were too severe, and we did all we could, but..."
Twilight trailed off, unable to complete her sentence. Draco examined the younger queen, looking desperately for any sign of deception. Why Twilight would deceive her, she didn't know, but she looked anyway and found nothing.
"I see,"
Draco snarled, her narrow pupils dilating. The elder queen's horn lit up as she lashed out at a nearby pile of empty crates, her green magic shattering them into billions of tiny atoms as she screamed furious obscenities. As sawdust flew wildly through the air, many others around them made the wise decision of avoiding the enraged changeling queen. But Twilight, for her part, just stood there patiently as Draco vented her rage. When all was said and done, Queen Draco stood over the remains of what had previously been a group of wooden crates. Her breaths were heavy and labored, and as she calmed, her anger sufficiently vented for now, she looked back over to the stone-faced Twilight.
"My apologies," Draco said. "I shouldn't have done that. Don't worry, I've already been there,"
Twilight responded.
"She was your best friend, but she was your mother,"
Draco rebuked.
"I am so sorry, Twilight. So am I,"
Twilight said, crestfallen. Draco sighed, sitting down on her haunches as her thoughts turned to her deceased friend.
"You know,"
Draco started,
"when I was a nymph, I was rather secluded by my mother. I only ever saw her or servants. I never interacted with nymphs my age, and thus I never had much in the way of friends. Until my first trip to the council, that is."
Twilight couldn't meet Draco's gaze, but her perked-up ears told Draco that she was listening, so she continued.
"We were both lost, you know. We bumped into each other by complete accident. She began raving about the history of the hive and books. Where do you think you got that from?"
Draco grinned.
"We became fast friends, though, and I would always look forward to each council so we could reunite. Of course, when we were older, we would also arrange our own meetings when possible. And then, a little over 20 years ago, she became pregnant with you."
Twilight looked up at Draco as she went forward with her tale.
"You have no idea how happy she was. Your father, too."
Draco smiled at the memory.
"And when she had to give you up, it almost destroyed her. She came to me, asking that my spies help to locate a suitable family for you in Equestria. Together, we found Nightlight and Twilight Velvet, of course. And then, when she went to deliver you, I went with her. Most of the way, at least. When she came to the houses about one street away, she insisted she'd go on ahead alone to say goodbye, and so I waited until she was finished and then departed with her." "Wait,"
Twilight interrupted.
"You were there that night?"
"Yes,"
Draco nodded.
"And she kept me informed on just about everything that was happening with you. With the sole exception being the invasion to retrieve you, she omitted that detail."
Draco placed a hoof on Twilight's shoulder.
"As long as I live, I will be here for you, Twilight. As I always have been, and as I always was for her. And I will pursue Crudelis until justice is done."
Twilight shot her a grateful smile.
"Thank you. Now,"
Draco said,
"what do you intend to do about Crudelis? What do you think?" "I understand,"
Draco said with a nod.
"But before anything, my changelings need a home,"
the younger queen stated.
"We'll be discussing it later. The princesses are sending for some maps and information on that cave." "So it was mentioned to you then. And? Seems promising so far,"
Twilight said.
"But we'll see. We shall,"
Draco agreed.
"What now?" "For now, I need some sleep."
Twilight suppressed a tired yawn.
"I'm no use to any of you if I fall asleep on the job. It is getting late,"
Draco noted, looking toward the falling sun.
"I, for one, am not at all tired, so I'll continue to keep things running until you feel up to things. After what you've been through, I think you need the rest." "Agreed,"
Twilight said, moving off in the direction of her tent.
"Be well, Twilight Sparkle,"
Draco called after her as they parted ways. After she had gone, Draco kept in a sigh of sadness, but there would be time for mourning her friend later. She had a job to do, keeping the refugees fed and safe. Chrysalis would wish her to do as much. However, it was but a couple of minutes later that Draco was yet again distracted from her work as the Princess of the Sun approached.
"Princess Celestia," she greeted, "what can I do for you?" "I'm searching for Queen Twilight. Have you seen her?"
Celestia asked.
"I have. She has retired for what will soon be the night,"
Draco told her.
"She has had a most trying day." "I know,"
Celestia said sadly.
"I take it she told you?" "She did,"
Draco nodded.
"I will mourn in my own time. I have a job to do now."
Celestia nodded back.
"Very well. For what it's worth, I am sorry. Excuse me."
Celestia moved away from the changeling queen and off into the crowd, making her way towards where Twilight was located. Draco sighed, but promptly got back to work. Twilight moved past the guards at her tent's entrance and immediately collapsed into the bed at the other end, the same bed upon which she had awoken the early hours of that morning. A morning where Chrysalis had still been alive. Tears began to flow freely, soaking into the pillow as she thought of what she had lost.
2 years,
Twilight muttered to herself.
Was that all we had? Couldn't even quite make it to the third.
She heard a ruffling from the tent's entrance, and then the sound of hooves approaching her. Twilight knew who it was. Who else would it be? Celestia sat down by Twilight's side, casting her a look of sympathy and remorse.
"Twilight, I'm so sorry. If I had been faster, this might have been prevented." "No,"
Twilight said with a shake of her head, shifting to look up at Celestia.
"Only Queen Crudelis is to blame, and she will pay for what she has done. Are you ready to talk about it?"
Celestia asked.
"No, thank you, but no."
Twilight dismissed.
"Twilight,"
Celestia sighed.
"I know you are angry, but don't let it control you." "And what's that meant to mean?"
Twilight suddenly shouted.
"My mother is dead! Doesn't that give me the right to be angry?"
"Of course," Celestia assured.
"But it's also dangerous. Especially for beings such as ourselves. Alicorns and changeling queens are similar in many ways, need I remind you? Need I remind you what happened to my sister? Or even give the example of Crudelis herself? I'm sure she has quite the hatred for your family. You're comparing me to her?"
Twilight snapped, jumping up to confront Celestia. Celestia's eyes widened as Twilight glared at her angrily, fangs bared towards her.
"But no, of course not. You are nothing like her, Twilight. I was just making a point. Anger can change us. And right now you are displaying a lot of it." "You have no right to criticize me, Princess,"
Twilight growled.
"Twilight?"
Celestia whispered.
"You're the one who decided to send 6 teenagers to deal with your mess. To redeem a sister who was only like she was because you neglected her. You sent those same teenagers to deal with Discord for you as well. And when it came down to it, you didn't even realize your own niece had been replaced by a changeling. Before I knew who she was, I was momentarily suspicious, and I acted on those suspicions and tried to expose her. I doubt you, being as engrossed in the wedding as you were, would have believed me!" "How could you say that? Of course I would have. Really?
Twilight asked doubtfully.
It must be so nice being you. Sitting so high up on your throne while sending others to do your dirty work. Keeping your pristine image so nice and squeaky clean. Twilight, why?
Celestia started, trembling slightly at her words.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Twilight growled, staring daggers at Princess Celestia as her rage drove her forward.
That's all you have to say,
Twilight snorted.
You're sorry I feel that way? Well, I'm sorry too. Sorry that you're too much of a coward to even address what I just said! Twilight, I have done what I believe was right. I always have,
Celestia said sternly.
But I am not perfect, or all-powerful, or some kind of goddess, like others have made me out to be in the past. I am just a pony. But let it never be said that I don't care for you or for any of my subjects. I love you, Twilight. I love you like any mother loves her daughter, just as Chrysalis and Twilight Velvet have done. You're lucky to have so many that care for you.
For a moment, Twilight seemed to relent, her own eyes widening at Celestia's words. But anger is not so easily extinguished.
Get out,
Twilight muttered.
Twilight, I get out!
Twilight shouted, wings spread, horn sizzling, and fangs glaring. Celestia flinched backwards before hastily retreating from the tent as requested. Twilight flung herself onto the bed and cast soundproofing spells around herself as she began to sob hysterically into the sheets. Celestia stepped outside into the fresh air, trying to get her trembling under control. Never had she heard Twilight talk to her like that, but she understood. Twilight was heartbroken, and all that pent-up emotion needed an outlet. Celestia was just unfortunate enough to be that said outlet. And what Twilight had accused her of, Celestia herself had long held guilt over. As she had stated to the raging changeling, at the end of the day, she was just a pony like any other. It was time for her most important duty, and as Celestia lit her horn, the sun descended into the horizon, while elsewhere in the camp, Luna raised the moon. Night had fallen.
Thank you for tuning in for this chapter of Change by Tom117Z. If you enjoyed any of what you heard, please consider leaving a like. If you're not already, consider subscribing. And if you're really feeling incredibly generous and really want to support me in what I do, then there's a link to my Patreon down in the description below. Thank you very much for any and all support, be it like, sub, favorite, whatever. It's all helpful. I appreciate it all. Thank you for tuning in. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.